Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're listening to Pastor Randy from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please visit our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready, grab your Bible, open your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, we surrender our heart to you, Lord. We come humbly before you, just desiring, Lord, for you to fill our lives, fill our hearts with gladness, move our minds to our ears to hear from you. And Father God, Lord, may you just cleanse us from all the muck and the mire, all the junk that's out in the world, that we take this time to just come and be refreshed and be reminded of who we are because of your love, because of your sacrifice, because of your word. And Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather together. We thank you that we can worship you, Lord. It was what we were created to do. And Lord, you are worthy of all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Good morning. Hey, I've got a couple of quick announcements for you. First of all, ladies, we have a new Bible study starting Tuesday, May 25th. On the book of Elijah, and it will be a video presentation by Priscilla Shire, and they have a sign-up sheet over in the fellowship hall, and so keep that in mind. Do we have a video for that one? No, we do. We do have a video for that one. Okay, great. Let's watch it. Yeah. So that's going to start Tuesday, May 25th, and they have a sign-up sheet. They want to know how many. That's not going to be held here. It's going to be at a home. It's going to be a home fellowship situation. So ladies, you want to keep that in mind. We'll still be having our Monday and Tuesday women's study Tuesday morning, but now we've added one in the evening. How about that? You can always find a way to get the Bible. Also, listen, the second and the fourth Tuesday of every month, we have Pioneer Home Fellowship. That was in the video as well, but just in case, we're letting you know. We have quite a few home fellowships starting up. And just another way for you to meet people, get plugged in, and it's an awesome opportunity. So that's every second, fourth Tuesday at 5:30. You can get more information by calling the office. And listen, ultimately, men, I think the best way for you to meet other men and more importantly to go deeper with the Lord Jesus Christ is to go to a men's retreat. Watch the video. Watch the video.
Next year.
I really saw the Lord there. The Lord was there. I saw it. I can feel it.
The tree was awesome, man.
Had an awesome time reconnecting with the Lord and ready to go back down the hill and start serving.
This retreat was very eye-opening. It was very inspirational.
Excellent. I've learned so much. It's just amazing to see the power of God working all these men, and just it's just incredible.
It was great. I'm so glad I came. It was an awesome experience.
Life-changing.
Absolutely life-changing.
The anointing and prayer was powerful to dwell in God's word closer and with men who understand each other, and we're all here for the same purpose, and that's Jesus Christ.
Best time of my life. It was gorgeous. I had an absolutely marvelous time. I'm blessed.
The tree was awesome. So many good things going on. The music was good. The speakers were awesome. And next year, guys, anybody that missed this year, don't miss it again. Wives, send your husbands.
Walking down the road.
I said, I'm walking down the road, and this man, he calls to me.
Yeah, walking down the road.
He said, brother, can you tell me about the agency man's retreat?
Yeah, guys, it's retreat time. We're lucky to have it this year. God's given us the opportunity. So now it's time for you to register. We got registrations both Sunday services, Wednesday night. So come to the registration table and get signed up. Don't hesitate. Don't press. Procrastinate.
Sign up sheet is out in the fellowship hall.
In the fellowship hall.
Sign up sheet for the men's retreat is out in the fellowship hall.
Yes, in the fellowship hall.
Been very heart-opening. Made me see a lot of things that I needed to change in my heart, and that's what counts.
Amen, amen. Listen, one of the things I will challenge you men to do is pray. Ask the Lord, Lord, would you like it if I spent 3 days, actually it's 2 days, 2 days focusing on you, putting my cell phone away, putting business and all those things away, to just focus on you? Lord, would you want that? What do you think he's going to say? Lord, would you want me to be a better husband, a better father, a better neighbor, and grow in my walk? Lord, do you want that? What do you think his answer would be? Yeah. So ladies, let me encourage you. You have more power than you know. You can encourage the men to go. And I'll tell you, not a single guy will come back saying, I wish I didn't go. Every single guy comes back going, wow, I really experienced the Lord on a new level. And I can mark my growth in my walk by the men's retreats that I attended. And I'm not making that up. I really mean that. So, sign up sheet in the back, not in the fellowship hall. The song was wrong. Right here in the sanctuary. And they'll sign their CDs for you. All right. Listen, this morning, I just want to say happy Mother's Day. Yeah. However, guess what I found out? I found out that I'm not supposed to say that. And you go, what? Watch the screen.
As we go into Mother's Day weekend, let us recommit our efforts and support to ensure that every birthing person across this nation is empowered and feels safe.
We have not created an infrastructure to support birthing people.
All pregnant and birthing people deserve to be treated with love. Birthing while Black should not be a death sentence.
Health equity for Black birthing people is attainable.
Mothers and babies and Black birthing people are important.
We desperately need long-term fixes to support the healthcare needs of Black women and birthing people.
To systemically shift the way we approach healthcare for birthing people of color
and respectful of Black women and birthing people.
The maternal mortality crisis among Black birthing people.
Black birthing people.
And birthing people.
For birthing people.
Black birthing people.
And our Black birthing persons.
For all birthing persons in Louisiana.
That birthing people want doulas and midwives.
And support for birthing people during the postpartum period.
There are not enough Black workers of color, leaving Black birthing people with limited autonomy or opportunity to receive racially concordant care.
Protect Black birthing people and to save lives.
So I guess I'm supposed to say Happy Birthing People Day. Birthing people? Birthing people. Listen, first it was make sure you have the right pronouns. And now you can't say Happy Mother's Day. You got to say Happy Birthing People's Day. Well, let me tell you, I refuse to take away the value of saying Happy Mother's Day. By the way, that concept is brought to you by the same people who said that transgender women should have can have abortions. Think about that. Yeah, I was going to show that video too, but it's all right. We'll just move on. Because you know what? It's not about that. Honestly, when we come to church, every service is really about worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really about praising him. But today we're going to praise him for the fact that he, in his wisdom, created moms. He did. Now, maybe you're a man here today, or maybe you're a gal who hasn't had children. This is not a time for you to check out. How many of you had parents? I'm going to go out on a limb and say that probably one of those parents was a mom. I know that's crazy. I'm going to risk it. I'm going to say that probably every one of you had a mom. And so don't check out. In fact, focus. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Yeah, the ushers want to give you Bibles if you need one. They'll put one in your hand. Sorry about that. Sorry, guys, I blew that one. So Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Did you notice that? It says, honor your father and mother so that you'll have a long life. Why? Because listen, if you don't, your parents will kill you. They will shorten your life. Actually, what it means is that you'll have a fruitful life. Listen, the Bible says that a child left unto its own will bring his mother shame. Why? Well, because a mother that is mothering her children will raise her children to the best of her ability. That's why moms are important. Dads are important too, but today we are going to focus on the mom. Especially a mom who prays. A praying mom. Ladies, I said earlier, you have power. You have a lot of power, especially when you pray. The influence of a mother cannot be put into proper perspective. As just know that it is immensely beneficial. In fact, Abraham Lincoln said this, no man is poor who has a godly mother. I agree with that. The love of a mother is special. You've heard that saying before. You know, he has a face that only a mother could love. That's a put down, but it's also for the mom, it's a put up. Why? Saying, look, it doesn't matter what a young man or woman look like or act like. That mom still loves her little boy and her little girl, no matter what. That speaks of how special love is. That's why people say love is blind. It really is. Love is blind. And listen, for a mom, the way a mother loves, that unconditional love, almost paralleling the love that God has for us. Now, I wonder, maybe many of you don't know the history of Mother's Day. Mother's Day began 100 plus years ago. Ann Jarvis moved to implement a special day for mothers at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in Grafton, West Virginia. And the President Woodrow Wilson, caught wind of the fact that they had, in this church, implemented a day to honor moms. And so he proclaimed May 9th, 1914, the first Mother's Day ever. And ever since, many other parts of the world have implemented this same day to honor moms. And why not? When you think of all that mothers do and have done, even the birthing process, which is incredible. Now, interesting enough, Ann Jarvis, who implemented this for her mother, never married, never became a mother herself, yet her mother impacted her life so richly that she felt it was only right to honor her, and that started a worldwide movement. How beautiful is that? The value of a mother. Listen, the scripture is very clear. God uses women in powerful ways throughout the whole Bible. Well, of course, it starts with who? Adam and Eve, right? The mother of us all. But then you got like women like Jochebed, Moses' mom, who thankfully makes the sacrifice to put her son in a basket. And what would he do? He would then lead God's people powerfully. You have Ruth, who becomes the line, is a part of the line of the lineage of David. Beautiful. Esther preserves all the Jewish people by being in the right place at the right time for such a time as this. And then, of course, Mary, that young gal who gives birth. And listen, she endured a lot besides the birthing in order. And we'll talk about that some other time. But women have multifaceted adventures in life. Because, you know, you're a young lady, then you become a woman, then you become a wife, then you become a mom. A man, when his wife becomes a mom, he becomes a gopher. Go for this, go for that, go for that. But mothers should be honored. Mothers should be honored. I remember in the Bible, Solomon. Remember Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, even though he did some dumb things, he was still considered the wisest man who ever lived. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19, Bathsheba, his mom, therefore went unto King Solomon to speak to him about Adonijah, and the king rose to meet her and bowed himself unto her, sat down on his throne, and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat at his right hand. Wow. And then the mother says, son, I have a request, and please don't deny me. And he says, Mom, whatever you want. And then she told him, and he goes, no, sorry. He was the wisest man who ever lived. But the idea was, here he is king, and his mom comes in, and he falls, he honors her by falling prostrate, bowing before her. He's king. And then he gives her a seat at his right hand, the place of honor. You know, as I was thinking about, I've never been king, never will be king, don't want to be king. But the day I became an assistant pastor, that was a big deal to me. Pretty big deal. And I remember, I became pastor. I didn't know how to act. I didn't know what was I supposed to do. Were people supposed to call me pastor now? Or what were they supposed to? I was new to it. And here we are in a group of people. And my mom walks up. And my mom, if you have a Hispanic mom, they often call their children mijo. So my mom walks up in front of the crowd, this group of people. And she says, oh, mijo. And I'm like, Mom, I'm a pastor now. And she goes, oh, okay, Pastor Mijo. I love my mom. Oh, good friend of mine from elementary school. Actually, he came here surprise visit one day. Donnie, he lives up in Minnesota. He just sent me a bunch of pictures from some book in our elementary school where what we both wanted to be when we grow up, and it had some different. He goes, oh, man, I got your signature. I'm like, great, it ain't worth nothing. But I remember one day in that elementary school in class, it was St. Patrick's Day. And my mom had to come to give me something in class. And my mom is one of these ladies, or was one of these ladies, that got into every holiday. She did. My dad didn't, but she did. And she was a waitress. And so she came in her waitress garb, and she had on a derby, a green derby, St. Patrick's Day derby. And she had a big shamrock that she painted on her cheek because, you know, she's going to go to work. And she walked in, and I was so embarrassed about my mom. Everyone else thought she was great. You know, the kids were like, oh, look it, she's got that, you know, and the hat. And I was embarrassed. And I think today that, you know, I'd do anything for her to walk in. But we honor our moms. Sorry. Jesus taught us the importance of honoring our mothers. He did. In John 19, verse 25. Jesus is on the cross. Our Savior is on the cross. And his mom is there, his mother. And it says, verse 25, now stood there by the cross of Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Then Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by. That was John, by the way. I don't have time to develop that. But anyways, and he said to his mother, woman. And he called his mom woman. It wasn't disrespectful. It wasn't like men, you go home and you say to your wife, woman, fetch me my sandwich. No, you don't do that. This was for Jesus. At this time, this was a term of honor, not of, you know, yeah, not birthing person. birthing person. Behold, no, he didn't say that either. He said, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. You think, okay, yeah, look at Jesus is teaching us, yes, you honor your mother, but you could just pass over that and miss what's really happening here. This is incredible. Why? The Lord Jesus Christ is ripped to shreds, dishonored, spit on. He hasn't slept in days. He hasn't eaten in days. He's rejected by his own people. He's separated from his Holy Father. He's taken the totality of all humanity's sin that ever was and ever will be upon himself. And in all that turmoil, he considers his mama. Man, I'll tell you, most people in lesser turmoil, all they can think about is themselves. It's been said that during wartime, especially like World War II, that many strong, virile, large, buff soldiers often broke down in tears in the foxhole crying out to their moms. The Lord Jesus Christ, he isn't even saying, mom, this is horrible. Mom, help me. Pray for... None of that stuff. He says, I'm worried about you, mom. Mom, here's your son. He's going to take care of you. John, take care of my mama. What honor. Maybe, perhaps that may be the first true Mother's Day. Now, I have to do this. Whenever I talk about Mary, I'm sorry, I have to do this. I just want to be clear. Do you realize Mary was the only woman who was telling the truth when she would say, my son is such a good boy. She's the only mother in history that is accurate when she'd say that. Every other mother just doesn't know. Love is blind. Also, as a side note, the Lord Jesus didn't say, John, take care of Mary and don't forget to pray to her. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. Listen, Jesus honored his mother, Mary, because, of course, we saw in Exodus it says, honor your mother and father. And, of course, Jesus would fulfill the law all the way to his last breath. I believe he also loved her. And Mary, notice she didn't say, no, 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 Jesus, we'll have none of that. I'm Mary, full of grace. I'll take care of myself. No, she didn't say that. She realizes that she's vulnerable. She realizes that her son is dying. She's probably tore up from the floor up. And Jesus says, hey, I need to take care of my mom. Listen, yes, is Mary blessed among women? Sure, she's favored. She's the only woman in history to give birth to the Messiah. That's pretty favored. But she's still just a woman. Favor means blessing. Is she blessed? Yes, any woman would be blessed to give birth to Jesus. But she's only a woman in all history. She's the only one that gave birth. And in that sense, she has favor. That's it. She doesn't have any power. We're not to pray to her. She's not co-redemptress. She's not to be venerated. She's not full of grace any more than you and I are full of grace as we come to the cross of Christ and recognize our need for him. But moms, you can lead your children in some powerful ways, especially if you are a Christian mom, if Christian mother with Christian values, you can leave a powerful legacy for your children. I came across this one story of a family who had gone to church, and on the way home, the little boy was in the back seat and he's just crying. And his mom leans back and says, honey, what's the matter? Why are you crying? And he says, well, it was what the pastor said and what he prayed. And she said, well, was there something wrong with what he prayed? He goes, yes. He said he wanted every child to grow up in a Christian home, but I want to live with you. Oh, the truth of children. Are you leaving a legacy for your children? Would your children go, you know, I may have been a horrible, horrible son, but my mom prayed for me. She prayed for me when I was in drugs. She prayed for me when I was angry and a person who loved to fight. I remember one time my mom came up to me in tears and she came up slowly and she goes, Randy, we're afraid of you. My mom was afraid of me, but she prayed for me. And thankfully, the day she died, she wasn't afraid of me anymore. Praise be to God. You know, there's a Jewish proverb that says this. It's a Jewish proverb. God couldn't be everywhere, so he gave us moms. Now, not good theology, but I love the sentiment. It's really quite a cute sentiment. Because moms do love. There's a nature. Women nurture. It's true. Men, for the most part, aren't really nurturers. You know, I was listening yesterday to Ken Graves. If you've never heard Ken Graves, you need to. But he was talking about how, you know, he goes, I'm not made like my wife. You know, my son falls down, gets hurt. He wants me to kiss a boo-boo. He goes, my kisses don't have any power. I'm the guy that says, get up. You're not bleeding that bad. Keep moving. Get back to work. You know, it's like. But there's a strange little story. But when you put it in context, it's actually not that strange. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And the child grew. Now it happened one day, he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, my head, my head. So he said to the servant, carry him to his mother. And at first you go, what? What? No. His kisses don't have any power. Go to your mom. Of course, the young man dies and Elijah comes and heals him. But the idea is this man understood, listen, I'm working. My son has a problem. My head. Go to your mom. She'll take care of you. Why? There's a nurturing there. There's a nurturing. A nurturing. Listen, some of us men, we're kind of nurturers, but not like a woman. Not that same thing. You know one thing I don't get? Here's what I don't get. Some women will say, I want a strong man who will protect me, but I want him to be sensitive too. And I'm thinking, how is that supposed to work? Hey, leave her alone or I'll cry. We're not built the same. Some of us cry. I cry. But it's not the same. We don't cry about the same things that women cry about. Listen, the Bible says that in Peter chapter 3, it says, husbands, dwell with your wives as a weaker vessel. Not lesser. It just means that she's more prone to be hurt emotionally. We don't get hurt emotionally as easily as women. Now, of course, there's different varying degrees of that. But we know this. We are to value our mothers. Mothers have to endure quite a bit, even just from the birthing process. Sidney J. Harris says this. The commonest fallacy among women makes you a mother, which is as absurd as believing having a piano makes you a musician. Anyone can be a parent, but to be a mom is much like a musician. Yeah, why? To be a musician isn't just to have the instrument. It takes time. It takes dedication. It takes getting to know the fine tuning of the instrument, getting to know the intricacies of your children. You know, they say that by the time a child is 2 months old, the child has learned to manipulate everything around them. 2 months old. 2 months old, scientists found that there are different cries. The baby has one cry, it's hungry. Another cry, it needs to be changed. Another cry, it's sleepy. But you know what? A mother knows these cries. Mother hears a cry, oh, baby's hungry. How do you know that? Well, I can tell. The baby's sleepy. How do you know that? They can tell. There's a communication. It's awesome. It's beautiful. It's knowing. It's fine-tuning that intimacy between the mother and the child. One person defines mom this way. One person who does the work of 20 for free. But honestly, it's not for free. It pays in love. It pays in devotion. It pays in setting a legacy. You know, it baffles us men. Ladies, I've said it and I'll say it again and I'm going to say it today. Men, we don't understand why you want to have a baby. We don't. We don't get it. Jesus put it this way. John chapter 16. Just so you know, it's not just me. Jesus knows. John chapter 16, verse 21 and 22. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. Is that true? Yeah. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow. I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. He says this, listen, when a woman's going to give birth, she sorrows. It's like, oh, it's going to hurt. There's one gal here at our church. She made it to the emergency room just in time to give birth. So no epidural, nothing. She gave birth in the emergency room. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh. The husband said he'd never heard her make those sounds before. I get that. But women, you're like, oh, I want to have a baby. I'm like, do you realize what you're going to have to go through? Have you ever seen those birthing films? I call them fetal attraction. It's pretty intense. And women are like, oh, look, the baby. I'm like, cool. Then you have the baby. And there's that fear and the worry of the unknown. Listen, no parent is a natural parent. We learn as we go. You know, it's often been said, you know, you have that first child, and the baby has a little, you know, one of those pacifiers, and it drops on the floor, and the mother tells the gopher, go get that. Get the pacifier, go, you know, sterilize it, wash it, clean it, you know, go through all this, rinse it down, use alcohol, rinse it again, bring it back, then we'll put it in the baby's mouth. But by the third child, pick it up. Thank you, Mom. But there is incredible value in a mother. You know, it's been said, behind every good man is a great woman. That's true. I believe that with my whole heart. Proverbs 31, verse 10 says this: who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. Her heart, the heart of her husband, safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. That's a good woman. A man with a woman like that can achieve a lot, has confidence, is able to do amazing things. Men, understand, your mom, your sisters, your bride were created with a different kind of love. Yes, they love, and we love. We're men. We know how to love. Obviously, if you're married, you did something. But we need to understand this. Being a full-time mom, wife, sister, that's something precious. God made that unique in this life. But as men, we just see, oh, there's a lady, there's a gal. We begin to take them for granted, and we shouldn't do that. Even Jesus upon the cross did not take his mom for granted. And having a baby is intense. Men, you think you're tough. Imagine passing a baby, you know how. I've often said, and I'll say it, if it were up to men to give birth, the human race would die out. It ain't going to happen. When God decided to put a man and a woman together, it makes a complete person. You have the gentle side, and you have the tough side, the strong side. But a mother's unconditional love, and dads have unconditional love too. Now, listen, I'm sorry if you had a mommy dearest, if you know what I'm talking about. If you had a bad mom, it happens. But that doesn't mean you have to be that. You can break the curse, the mold. And remember, no matter what, we have a good, good father who loves us unconditionally, who has that kind of love. Listen, a mother's love, oftentimes, I kind of equate it similar to 1 Corinthians 13:7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You know, I've often said, when a serial killer, the news goes and interviews the neighbors, or they always go and interview the mom. Oh, he was such a good boy. He never hurt nobody. No, he just chopped them up. But to the mom, the mother, it bugs me when the news interviews the mom. What do you think the mother's going to say? The mother will love because he had a face, he had a heart. Only a mother could love. And she does. Love is blind. It's special being a mom. Listen, you go through that birth and then you know. You know, when you have a baby, a newborn baby, what does everyone say? You're going to not be able to sleep anymore. I hope you enjoyed your sleep. Everyone's waiting to get past the teething, and then you get a normal sleeping pattern. That's why it bugs me when people say, so how'd you sleep? I slept like a baby. What, were you up every hour, hungry, with the mess in your pants? If you slept like a baby, I want to sleep like a baby. I want to sleep like my grandpa. He slept all day. He was barely awake. Listen, having children, becoming a mom, it's not rational. It's not logical. It really isn't. Stretch marks, weight gain, hips, financial, sleep. But listen, love doesn't care about the cost. Love leaps. Love offers. Love doesn't count. To talk about love, to talk about cost when you're in love is an insult. It absolutely is. I think that's the epitome of 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God chose the foolish things to confound the wise. Why would she want another baby? Jesus says, as soon as the pain is gone, the woman forgets. She's the baby. She's sweating. The room has got, it's a mess in the delivery room. I wasn't going to get graphic. And the baby, when can we have another? Wow. And the man's like, oh, never mind. I'm going to stop. Listen, we often play a fool, but it's not foolish when it's for love. No man feels foolish when he gives everything he has to win that one girl. It makes perfect sense. You don't care about the cost. You don't care about the sleep. All we want is love. It's so important. And so when you look at motherhood, it has the power and the beauty resembling that of God himself. Why? Well, remember, Jesus Christ went to the cross knowing the pain. He knew the pain. He understood this is going to be incredibly painful. When he said, Father, if there be any other way, it wasn't about the cross. It was about the sin. But the Bible, because how do I know that? Because it says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So what was he freaked out? Having the sin of mankind poured on him. But he went to the cross with joy because he knew it would be our birth. It would give us new birth. Just like a mom says, I know it's going to be painful, but it's going to give birth to a little life, a little love. Little feet, little hands. And God looks at us. He goes, look at the little, Randy got saved. Well, they're not little feet and little hands, but he got saved. That's why Psalm 127 verse 3 says, behold, children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. It's also a reward to God. So he put, ladies, men, he put a love inside of moms so that they could bring forth his reward. Yes, a man and a woman together can create life, but it's God who gives life. It's God who does it. And he gets a reward. So he had to put a certain kind of love in a woman so that she would go, I don't care about the pain. I don't care about the cost. I want a baby. However, unlike God's love, and I have to throw this in here, unlike God's love, a mother's love is imperfect. See, sometimes a mother out of her love begins to enable, and that's not good. God doesn't enable. You know that? When we sin and we're his, you know what God does? Proverbs 3:12. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. But I have to counsel mothers. I have to counsel young men. Oftentimes, sometimes even middle-aged men. Because the mom is enabling the son, and it's ruining both their lives. Be careful that your love doesn't cause sin. Sometimes it's important to bring correction. In fact, here's the thing. If God disciplines those he loves, as parents, guess what we have to do? Discipline those we love. And sometimes that is difficult. But we have to remember that moms, their love is wired differently than men. Men, don't pretend like you understand the way your wife loves. You don't. The Bible says, you're going to call God a liar? The connection can become so strong that it becomes ungodly. Moms, also, don't put your children before your husband. That's not good. I get that too. You know, we stay together for the kids. You know what? I love my husband, but my kids come first. No, mom, I know you can't. That's your heart of love. You want to, but that's not the way God designed it. It is not. You have to let go. Just like every other mom, you have to let go to manhood or young ladyhood. Just like Jesus' mom had to let go of Jesus to the cross. It's hard. It is hard. You realize that when a mother has a baby and that baby takes that first step, that's actually the first step away from home. From there, that when that baby, moms are always happy, oh, it's the first step. Do you realize that's the first step to get into the point where they can actually step away and go start their own life? It's almost like a tragedy. And of course, each one of us, each step of our life is one closer step to eternal home. And I'm okay with that. In fact, I look forward to that. So today, men, your mom, your sister, your bride, we're created with a different kind of love, and we need to appreciate them for the way God designed them, not like us. See, that's the problem with us men. We want our wives, we want our sisters, we want our moms to think like a man so that we can get along. But God said, no, dwell with your wives with understanding, as if you understand them, but you don't. I like this short little poem that someone wrote. It said, speaking of moms, speaking of wives, speaking of sisters, speaking of woman. She makes broken look beautiful. She makes strong look invincible. She walks with her troubles on her shoulders and makes them look like wings. Listen. A mother's hug, thank God it lasts longer than when she lets go. And one person said, life doesn't come with a manual, it comes with a mom. And so today we say Happy Mother's Day. Father God, we thank you for the mothers in our life, the ladies in our life. The beautiful women in our life, Lord, so beautiful and soft and made, Lord, different from us men. Thank God. Lord, we just come today to celebrate what is beauty. We just come today to celebrate your creation. We come, Lord, today saying thank you for the moms in our life. It's a gift from you that we should never take for granted. And Father, Help us to be better men for the ladies in our life, that we would honor them with our heart, with our words, with our hands, with the things that we do. Father God, thank you that you are the giver of the best gifts we could ever ask for. And even the things we wouldn't have even thought of. And so, Lord, thank you for moms. Thank you for Jesus and the example of his love. And now, Lord, we just want to focus on you and praise you. We want to sing to you. We want to live for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you need prayer today, we have deacons and pastors up front. And in the meantime, let's sing one last song, and then don't forget to call your mom. God bless.